Welcome to Going Deeper. My name is Debbie McKinnon. I'm here with the wonderful Kieran Yarnell. And we fought about who's standing in for Malcolm. I say she is, and she says I am. But no, I'm going to stand in for Brad.
Well, we're anyway. Just going to be two ladies talking.
Yeah, we're just two ladies having lunch talking about Jesus. That's what we're doing. But, this is the PTL class, and we do this Going Deeper. And so there's folks, I guess, one or two that get on here and listen to this later. But so we're going to talk about the sermon today, about the feeding of the 5,000, and kind of go a little deeper and talk about what Mark had to say about that. And so, Karen, go ahead and start us off and just kind of reorient us by reading it.
Okay. This story is from John 6. And remember that John says he doesn't call them miracles. He calls them signs. And they're to tell us more of who Jesus is. So this is John 6, starting in verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself.
Wow. Okay. One thing Mark said was that, I love this, that miraculous signs were there to point us to a reality beyond themselves. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, signs crack open heaven. I love that. I love that. And one thing that I want to talk about is how these different signs and miracles really do mirror back things that God did in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. So I won't talk about that for
Yeah, I was... See, the Lord just is leading us because we were thinking the same thing. Okay, so let's remember Moses.
Let's remember Moses.
And the people were in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord sent Moses, and he did all those... God, through him, did all the wonders and the plagues, and they were set free, and they crossed through dry land through the Red Sea. And then when Moses receives the law, while he's up receiving the law from God, the people decide that he's taking too long. And so they gather all their jewelry and make the golden calf. And what's fascinating to me is what they say after they've melted their jewelry and formed this golden calf. They look at the calf and say, "This is the God who brought us out of Egypt."
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
When God has just brought them through dry land, through the middle of the Red Sea, and seen the most powerful army in the world destroyed, they decide to say that this gold calf that I've created is my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty powerful. So then what happens that we know is that they have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in the wilderness, and of course, God is still going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's going before them. He's always going to provide for them. But what happens is they decide that they're not going to get any food. So they complain. Mm-hmm. And Moses cries out to God, and God sends manna, which is the bread from heaven.
They complained. They wanted to go back and eat what they ate in Egypt. They had all these great memories of what they ate in Egypt, which probably wasn't that great.
Isn't it interesting that when what's familiar to us mm-hmm. draws us, mm-hmm. and we remember it wrongly?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because they did not have a life. It was horrible. They were crying out to God to set them free, but they don't remember it that way. Mm-hmm. And so it's in, I think it's also interesting that they're complaining, their unbelief, they think that God's not going to provide for them. And in that, in their complaining and unbelief, Moses, our mediator, cries, he's a picture of Jesus mm-hmm. as our mediator, cries to God, and God gives them bread mm-hmm. to bring, mm-hmm. give them life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the Old Testament picture that God had. They would all, the Jews would have known this story. Yeah. They should have recognized that Jesus looked just like that story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God always sent Jesus' message in context,
mm-hmm.
and they should have understood that, but they're not seeing it.
Right.
But that's the context for this miracle.
Yes, yes. Can I bring something up that, now Mark didn't cover it, but I'm going to be speaking to the moms tonight. And I was, and the theme is happy birthday. And I'm like, okay, whatever that is. And I thought, well, I'll talk about the second birthday. So I'll go to John chapter 3. And again, John, in his recording of the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, I'm going to borrow your Bible real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to read to you something that stood out to me. We're talking about signs and how God, they were looking for miracles. They were looking for signs. But even when they got them, it was not united with belief
yes,
in Jesus.
Yes,
they assigned different things to the sign. They said, well, what can God do for me, right? So what I stood out to me about Nicodemus, look here, you've got it all underlined already for me. Okay. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. So what might he know about Moses, the law? The first five books of our Bible was the Pentateuch, and that's what they had, right? All the books of the law. He knew every 613 regulation. He knew all about the washings. He knew all about the sacrifices, the temple. He knew all the mm-hmm. things in the Holy of Holies. He knew everything about that. So he knew all these things. And he came to Jesus at night because he didn't want to be seen, because he wanted the approval of man over this Jesus that he wasn't sure about, mm-hmm. right? But here's the cool thing. He says, Rabbi, talking to Jesus, he says, we know that you are a teacher. So he's like, okay, I got the teacher part. Who has come from God? For no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. And then Jesus says, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus didn't even answer him. Jesus didn't say, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, Nicodemus, I'm from God and I'm doing these signs because, you know what? They reflect what happened in the old. Remember Nicodemus, what you know about the law? He didn't say that. He went right to his heart and says, you must be born again. Mm. And he says, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But Nicodemus, he says, how can anyone be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus once again says, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, meaning that washing of sin away and the Spirit entering our heart, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, Nicodemus, that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says again, how can these things be?
Mm.
And, you know, Jesus had much more patience than I would have had. Here's what Jesus says to Nicodemus. Are you a teacher of the law? Do you get this? Don't you teach this stuff every day in Sunday school or in Sabbath school? You know, he didn't say all that, but he said, are you a teacher of Israel and know these things? Truly, I tell you, we speak what we know. And we testify what we have seen, but you don't accept our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe it, how will you believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? And so I'll stop there because I feel like, you know, that was in chapter 3. We go over to chapter 6, And so Jesus has done this big miracle, and his disciples and the people are wanting to make him king because they're still looking for a Messiah that's going to be king, and they don't get it. And, you know, Jesus was God, so he knew all things. But the man part of Jesus, don't you think he was like, disappointed that even his followers, a man that knew the law backwards and forwards, knew all the prophecies of the Messiah, that he was, knew about the angels that prophesied about Jesus, he knew about the prophets that told in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel all the things that were to come, Nicodemus knew about it, but he still failed to see Jesus. He was looking and he failed to see Jesus. And so the multitudes we see in our story today did the same thing.
I think what I think is interesting about Nicodemus is that there's something in him that does recognize that there's something about Jesus. And so he does go to him and ask. And I remember hearing, I don't know if any of y'all remember, Adrian Rogers.
Loved
the
Adrian
preacher, Adrian Rogers. He came to my church in Louisiana one time, and I remember him talking about coming to Christ. And he said, you know, the Lord gives you light for the next step. And if you take a step into that, he's going to give you light for the next step and the next step. And it's kind of like, that's what Nicodemus might be doing. He really should, with all of his knowledge, he should have recognized that it was Jesus, that he was the Messiah. But he did take a little bit of light and curiosity, and he asked more questions. And
at that point, he had a lot to lose. If he went full tilt toward Jesus, he had a lot to lose.
Yes, he did.
So
he did.
He was thinking about his position in the synagogue. He was thinking about his livelihood. So his position, his power, his livelihood, his family. He was thinking about all those things. So you're right, he was intrigued. Now later, we do know that he helped with the spices for Jesus' burial. So we know that he came around. And I'm going to throw this out there. I was telling Janice and Dottie this morning, I was reading about Nicodemus. And I'd like to think that he did come around. I think he did follow Jesus. I'd like to believe that. And so much so that, you know what? Now, you're going to have to straighten me out and ask. You're going to ask your husband. You're going to have to ask him. But what if we don't know who wrote Hebrews? We don't know, do we? What if Nicodemus might have written that? I would love it. I can't wait to find out.
I know.
Because you think about, in the book of Hebrews, and I'm not saying he did write it, but in the book of Hebrews, we see the author continually comparing Jesus to all, everything from the law. From Moses to comparing him, he's better than the angels, he's better than the prophets, he's better than the law, he's a better sacrifice, he's a better priest. So you could see someone that was really fully known of the law, really immersed in Judaism, that if he came to Christ, oh my mercy, he would have more knowledge to compare Jesus, that he is better than all of that because he is the ultimate sacrifice.
That's an interesting, because it could have been.
Could have been.
I mean, because that's what you're seeing. You're seeing someone that has suddenly had his blinders removed and seen how Jesus fulfilled everything.
And kept warning the Jewish believers, don't go back to Judea. Don't go back to the sacrifice. Don't go back to the shadow of what is reality. Don't go back. And so there's a lot of warnings in there. So you could see somebody, if it wasn't Nicodemus, it could have been Paul. But you knew that whoever wrote Hebrews was talking to Jewish believers that were going through persecution or having a really tough time. And can you imagine that? You know, if you had come to Jesus and left your family, your position, your livelihood, you left everything to follow Jesus, and now you're being persecuted. And so, like you just said, familiarity. You know, let me go back. Yeah. When I was sitting in Virginia and I was really struggling, Tex had died and everything. You know what I kept thinking about? I kept thinking about my grandma's house. Janice, oh, here I go. Every time I get up here, I get emotional. But Janice and I basically grew up as much at our grandma's house as we did our own house. And there was so much just joy there. We got spankings, but we still had joy. But, you know, there were, any given point, there were farm animals that would show up. Goats, cows, horses, chickens for sure, cats, old cats, and, and old dogs, you know, all that. But trees we could climb. So every time I want to feel comfort, you know, I think, and then I started thinking in Virginia, I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and move on back to Oklahoma. I'm going to go back. Maybe I can go back to Spencer. Well, then I drove through Spencer. I ain't going back there.
Wasn't as you recalled.
Not
it.
As I recall. No, it's moved on. So then I just found Janice. So I just went wherever she was, and here I am.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Yay.
But, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to go back to what the old way of doing things in terms of when we find him, we follow him. We don't follow our old way. But anyway, I got to preach.
I know. Amen. It's such a gift, just coming out of what you're saying. It's such a gift to feel the presence of the Lord, to see Jesus, to in our moments. And I was just thinking about these people. Back in the day, they didn't have a Walmart or a Chick-fil-A. I don't know how they survived without Chick-fil-A. But they were very much, if you didn't work that day, you didn't get anything to eat. And they were, 90-something percent were very poor. And so if you think about the fact that this group doesn't have food, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that they don't have food. And there's no easy way to get it, and they probably don't have money to buy it. And so just think about for yourself a need that you have right now. And a physical need, a need to be, have an ability to do something, a spiritual need, a resource need, that need that's pressing on you right now. And that's how they were feeling. This was a real need. And so Jesus met that need in this physical realm, which is amazing that he uses things of this earth to teach us. And in the process of providing a real need that they had, he was also showing them, I'm the bread of life.
Amen. Yeah.
And that, you know, we've talked about the I am statements and how that goes back again to Moses meeting God at the burning bush. And he says, what's your name? He says, I am. So I have a Malcolm word for you. And the word is that theologians use is the word aseity. It's A-S-E-I-T-Y. And it means that God is self-sufficient. God doesn't need anything. If I could describe myself, I would say needy is number one. But God doesn't need anything. And so who they were meeting when he met their need is they were meeting the self-sufficient God of the universe.
That's powerful.
And what Mark said is it would be such a shame to have him meet that need and miss out on who was doing it.
Exactly.
That's the consolation prize.
Right. Oh, I love that.
Is what Mark said.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And so I think the challenge for me from the sermon today, I was praying, you know, we grew up drawing pictures of this. We know this story. But, Lord, I want to meet you in this story in a new and fresh way.
Yes.
And what the Lord was just showing me is that I come to him with my needs, often like the people of Israel, complaining first and not trusting that God's going to meet that need. But when he does meet that need, do I stop And do I see the one who met my
Amen.
Need?
Amen.
That it's
Ooh,
Jesus.
That's powerful.
It is God. It is Jesus who loves me, who died on the cross for my sin, and will always meet my needs.
Mm-hmm.
He will always meet my needs.
Yes.
He will always care for me for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to reorient my life to not miss the presence of Jesus.
That's so good.
In those moments.
Yeah.
And they were looking at him in a worldly way, which I think, unfortunately, we do. Mm-hmm. We want the government to fix everything. We mm-hmm. want the church to fix our spiritual needs. We mm-hmm. we look at churches, corporations. I mean, I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. The things that we do, and that's what they wanted. They wanted a mm-hmm. king to set mm-hmm. them free from their earthly oppression.
And you know what Mark said too? I loved it. I think I laughed too loud when he said it. Somebody turned around, but Jesus is not going to come flying in on our Air Force One.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I was in early service. I don't know if he said that.
Being in an election year, you know, I'm right there with everybody that gets all, you know, and, you know, and Mark was talking about you can't argue somebody into heaven, you know, and it's got to be the power of God
yes.
that transforms a person's heart. And sometimes we miss heaven by 18. I remember a pastor talking about this. We miss him by 18 inches. We may give assent.
Yes.
To, oh, yeah, okay, I believe this. And that leads me back to when Mark was talking about how there are people that don't truly believe that was a miracle. They just believe that, you know, the crowd was so moved by this little boy offering his fishes that they just said, oh, well, I'll share my stuff too. Why would you think the God of the universe couldn't provide for all those people? And why would you miss what you're saying, that this is a God that meets all of our needs, every one of our needs? And even back to what you talked about, the children of Israel, when Moses went up onto the mountain to get the law, I don't think he's gone 10 minutes. They start gathering jewelry to make those idols. But I don't want us to miss the fact that I remember you said, why would they start worshiping an idol when they had God and they just saw the Red Sea part? Why would they worship idols? Don't I worship idols?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was talking to one of my kiddos this week, and he was talking about the money he was making, and, you know, boy, I don't know what we would do if I ever lost my job. And he was going on and on about, you know, all the things. And these kids, they spend money like it's water. And they, you know, and I thought, well, whose fault is that? But anyway, you know, he was talking about all that. And I know, not to point my, because I've been there. I know what we worry about that we may lack is the very place where we are not trusting God.
Mm,
you know, and I think, you know, he's worried about money because that's his idol. That's what he worships. He wouldn't say that, but what does he think about 24/7? What is it all about? And now, yes, this family, good for him for providing for that family, but it's more about where's my heart, where's my focus? Don't miss heaven, don't miss Jesus by the 18 inches
mm-hmm.
between our head and our heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think these folks, like us, we're looking for a better president. I am anyway. But, you know, we're looking for, okay, who's going to lead us? Who's going to take us, you know, because we're worried about our country, which, yes, I mean, you know, all the things. But if we're not believing God over, you know, the king that we want here on earth,
mm-hmm.
we've got to believe God to meet mm-hmm. our needs,
mm-hmm.
every need, because
mm-hmm.
we will be persecuted for our belief in Christ, because mm-hmm. we were promised that. But I want to be following Jesus when it all comes down,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And anyway, this is such good stuff. I mean, really good stuff. One thing that Karen, I loved was what he brought out too, was that the comparison of the witnesses. You know, when a story, what he quoted the guy, J. Warner Wallace, The Cold Case for Christianity. I love the idea that when we're talking with people, we cannot prove mm-hmm. Jesus, you know, is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in terms of in a science lab. But all the evidence mm-hmm. and these witnesses that corroborate in a way that really gives credence to all four of the stories. And I love that. I love that whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's getting me excited about Bible study, because he said that this is the only thing besides the resurrection, the only story that's in all four Gospels. Mm-hmm. So if you go and read all four, then you can piece together that
the
Philip
puzzle.
was from Bethsaida. That's why he asked Philip.
Yeah.
You know, this is your hometown. Where's the best restaurant?
Yeah.
You know, that's what you do. And
right.
so it makes it such just a story, you know, when it brings it more to life for me. I always like to go back to what was it really like for the people there and the place there, because that's where you see how poignant the story is, and you can bring it.
Amen.
But so for Bible study, I'm going to start doing that more often. When I'm reading a gospel story, find the other book that has the same one.
Yeah.
And let them help each other. I thought that was really helpful in understanding the scripture, what Mark shared.
Because we're really good at, or I have been really good at, you find a verse that substantiates something, a point you're trying to make, and we rip it out of context and hold it up bloody and bleeding and go, look here, you know, I'm going to show you this verse.
And we're usually giving it to someone else because we don't like what they're doing.
Right. We don't like their theology or what they're saying. And then they rip one out and they hold theirs up. And what we have to do is look at it all in context, right?
Yep.
And so I love that, comparing the Gospels to each other.
Yep.
So that's good stuff, Karen. Good stuff. All right, what else?
Well, I think, are we almost out of time?
We got about three more minutes.
I liked one thing I just wanted to mention was that Mark said, what they don't understand is that being under Roman bondage isn't their greatest problem. Jesus wants to set them free from their bondage to sin and Satan.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good takeaway, if
I
we could
too.
See that. We really want to meet Jesus and not trusting in anything else.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
It's not Jesus plus anything.
Yeah.
And this last scripture, John 1:17. I love the book of John. You know, that's why it's really good. If somebody is seeking, and somebody, and like my grandkids who have never been in church, never been in Sunday school, they didn't draw the little loaves and fishes. They didn't do that. And I was just thinking about that manna. I wonder if they cooked that in peanut oil. It might taste like Chick-fil-A. But anyway, I don't know what made me think of that. Where that came from, I don't know. But don't you
from a spirit. We don't know if it's the Holy Spirit
no.
or another one.
Did they have peanuts over there?
I bet they didn't in the wilderness.
But they had olive oil.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be the same. All right. John 1:17. I love this. Or John shows us the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That Jesus was full of grace. He was full of truth. And if you're watching the Super Bowl, there was that advertisement that really bothered me. And I wondered why it bothered me so much. But it was Jesus gets us. And they were showing Jesus washing all these people's feet that, you know, sinners, prostitutes, transgender, you know, they had all the different people and you know, a preppy girl washing a hippie girl's feet. I don't know what all it was. But the thing was, it was all about Jesus gets us. But the thing was they missed was we need to get Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he is full of grace, but he's also full of truth. And Jesus spoke as much about hell as anything because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to know his saving power, the blood that he has covered for sin, that they can come under that blood. And that's the truth. So he is full of grace and truth. And we get to worship him. And we don't want to miss him. We don't want to miss him.
Yeah. John 3:16. God
Amen.
So loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him will not perish.
Amen.
But have everlasting life.
On that, I want you to close us in prayer.
Okay. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm just so grateful today for the people that are in this room, the PTL class. I'm so grateful for their testimony of their lives, Lord God. And for their willingness to give this time on Sunday morning to record this podcast. And Lord, I'm thankful for Debbie and her desire to serve you in all that she does. And her willingness to proclaim boldly the truth of the word. And God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for Pastor Mark, who preaches your word each week. Without any inhibition, he just preaches your word, Lord. And we just thank you for giving us your word, for speaking to us, Lord, for not being a silent God, but being a God who calls to us and invites us to know you, that tells us about yourself, that you are the great I am, that you don't need us, but yet you love us, and your love causes you to reach out of yourself to love us and draw us to you. We thank you for feeding the 5,000 and showing that all of our needs are met in you, that not only will you give us bread, but you are bread. And when we need rest, Lord, you'll give us rest, but you are rest. Mm. And when we're thirsty, you'll give us water, but you are water.
Yes, Jesus.
You are the water of life. All the things that we need are found in you, Jesus. Mm. Please help us as we go into this week, Lord, to take the truths of this message and show us at least one way, if not more, God, that we can apply this so that we will be faithful to what you've proclaimed to us and so that we can be changed by your word. God, we ask you to do something only you can do, and that is to let the Holy Spirit apply this truth to our lives, dear God. And we thank you, God, that you are so good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.